My guest at this time is Florida Republican Congressman Ted Yoho, who represents the Sunshine State's 3rd Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. We want to get his thoughts on a couple of different things. First of all, his reaction to the president's conflating the Republican Party with the hardliners in Iran. And as both the House and Senate are now in summer recess, we want to get the congressman's thoughts on what was accomplished prior to the recess and what he hopes will happen once lawmakers come back to town next month. And Congressman, thanks very much for being with us.
Greg, I appreciate you having me on, and look forward to this interview and answering your questions. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with the president's comments on Wednesday, actually. He was at American University talking about why he believes Congress should be supportive of the Iran nuclear deal. He says that it's the best possible deal that could have been negotiated, and the alternative is essentially going to war. But then he talked about this when it came to Republican opposition.
Just because Iranian hardliners chant death to America does not mean that that's what all Iranians believe. In fact, it's those hardliners who are most comfortable with the status quo. It's those hardliners chanting death to America who've been most opposed to the deal. They're making common cause with the Republican caucus.
Making common cause with the Republican caucus. What was your reaction to that, Congressman?
Number one, it's not presidential. I mean, to throw his own political party under a bus like that and compare us with the hardliners. Now, let's look who the hardliners are. The hardliners in Iran, the people chanting death to America, I believe that would be their supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, and their president, President Rouhani. Those are the ones that are saying this, and they're the hardliners that he's negotiated with, and they're still saying. So the president's way off base on this, and he's doing a disservice to the American people by saying it's the Republicans. You know, it's the Republicans' fault. You know, I'm sure somewhere it'll be George Bush's fault. No, you need to get over it. He is the commander-in-chief, and this is a bad deal that he has negotiated, and he's put America in a bad situation. And you said he was saying that this is, if it's not this deal, it's war. No, it's not. The alternative is a better deal, and you get a better deal by putting sanctions on there harder and bringing the P5 nations back together and negotiating a better deal. And when Iran denounces terrorism around the world, that would be a start. When Iran releases our 4 hostages, that would be a good faith gesture. And when Iran stops chanting death to America, death to Israel, and burning our flags, then I would listen to them. They're not ready yet.
One other thing he said in his speech on Wednesday at American University is that there were no secret side deals. It would appear, based on the reports that we've seen, that Congressman Pompeo and Senator Cotton have come up with, that there are side deals between the IAEA and Iran over what type of concessions might be made when it comes to inspecting newly discovered sites. As a member of the committee, what do you know for sure about that?
Again, the president is misspeaking. Some people would call it a lie. There are side deals because John Kerry even said, yes, there are deals, and there are briefings on that. And he says, we will brief Congress. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to vote on something that we're briefed on. I want to see the actual papers. We pay 25% of the salary of the IAEA. I think we should have a say in what we see and what we don't see. Not the president saying there are no side deals when his own Secretary of State said, yes, there are. And one of the side deals, and the American people need to know this, one of the side deals is the Parchin military base where they detonated a nuclear trigger device back in 2003. The IAEA has done an extensive report. They have enough evidence to prove that they've done that. One of the agreements is that there has to be environmental sampling. And in this agreement, Iran is charged with bringing environmental samples to have the IAEA look at. Now, how much faith do you have in Iran sampling the area that's in question? I have zero faith that they'll do that.
You also mentioned that the president was suggesting that the Republicans have common cause with the Iranian hardliners. There's a lot of Democrats, of course, who have concerns about this as well. What's your read on the Democrats right now? I don't know how often you interact with them or talk to them about this particular issue, but which way do you think they're tending to trend over the next few weeks?
I think you're going to see the members, the Democratic members of the House vote against this deal, especially the ones that sit on the Foreign Affairs Committee. The majority of them will vote against this. This is a bad deal. Iran gets everything they wanted. We get virtually nothing. I mean, we didn't even get our 4 hostages back. I mean, give me a break. If we're operating and negotiating from a position of strength, those would have been the conditions I would have started the negotiations on.
Congressman, obviously part of the concern here going forward is the conditions under which this vote is going to take place. Normally, if this were to be considered a treaty, it would require two-thirds support for the treaty in the U.S. Senate. But since the president won't submit it as a treaty, the Corker-Cardin plan is such that you need two-thirds support to override a presidential veto to stop U.S. sanctions from being lifted here. So what do you make of the ground rules here? Was it right for the Republican leadership in both houses to at least get a vote on the table since the White House wouldn't cooperate here? Or should they have played hardball and demanded that it be submitted as a treaty?
Well, ideally, it would have been better to play hardball, but with the lack of leadership we have in Washington, both in the House and in the Senate, we're not going to have that. And that's why we're forced to the hand we are forced. And along that same vein is, you look at what our administration has done. The president and John Kerry, Secretary Liu, and Secretary Moniz, they brought the deal to the American people after they took the deal to the U.N., and got U.N. approval, and then bring the deal to us, the representatives of the United States of America that represent all the citizens. And they say this, and John Kerry said this on our Foreign Affairs Committee, you go ahead and vote this down, and we're walking away from the table alone. No other country will be with us. All sanctions are removed immediately, and Iran can start enriching tomorrow. That's what you guys will do if you vote it down. And I said, how dare you bring us a negotiation that corners your country in a box and we don't get a win out of this? It was very disingenuous. It was not done to make America stronger. And it's the people it's made stronger is Iran. It's emboldened them. You look at what they've done under economic sanctions, and now we're going to give them $100 billion and think they're going to be nicer. I mean, that would be like giving a shark or an alligator more teeth and expecting them to be nicer.
Last question. Unfortunately, just a minute left in our conversation here. When you come back from recess, the Iran vote will be one of the top things on the agenda. Funding the government for the next fiscal year will be up there as well. What do you hope for? What do you hope Republicans can accomplish once you come back from this recess?
Well, I hope the biggest thing we can do is, number one, vote this deal down, and I think you'll see it voted down in the House. And you brought up the debt ceiling. We have not had one discussion on the debt ceiling as a Republican conference all year long. And again, this is a lack of leadership. John Boehner has not brought this up. His committee chairman, Hal Rogers, has asked for hearings on this. We've not had one. So I hope that we can get our act together in those 12 days to deal with $1 trillion spending that's going to come up, and that we do what's best for America on it.
And real quickly, Mitch McConnell saying there will be no government shutdown. I'm guessing most people don't want a shutdown. What do you make of him publicly stating that under no circumstances will there be one?
I don't know. I kind of learned playing poker. You never show your cards until you're ready to, you know, cash them in. And nobody wants the government shut down. But you want to raise $1 trillion in debt? American people don't want that either. They sent the Republicans, the largest majority we've had in almost 90 years, to lead this country. And if we're not leading, you know, we're going to lose the trust of the American people.
Congressman, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time, as always.
Greg, appreciate it. You have a great day.
Thank you, sir. Florida Republican Congressman Ted Yoho represents his state's 3rd Congressional District. He's a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.